broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2019. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. Sam and Kurt on your radio. If you believe we provide value to you, reciprocate and donate today at libertyroundtable.com. Live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips. All right, our guest not with us today. He's got some other obligations. We'll regroup and catch him at another time. Kurt, welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. A very sobering discussion to have right now, Mr. Crosby. Headline says this: Medicare pointed towards insolvency by 2026. Social Security would become insolvent in 2035. Not much different than a year ago's reporting. Many retirees depend on the program to cover basic living costs. They say for Medicare, it could mean hospitals, nursing homes, and other care facilities. And medical providers would only be paid part of their fees. And I don't know how long you think that's all going to last for them to go ahead and service that sector unless forced to by government. So time will tell how that's going to look. But, you know, we used to talk about this happening in 2020s or 2030s, and it was so far off, nobody really thought much about it. But if this really melts down in 2026 and 2035, respectively, Kurt, what do you got? It's 2019. We're half over now. So, you know, 5 years till 6 years till seriousness on one of them. And, you know what, a good 14 years or something till the other. But it isn't looking good, sir, and nobody has the heart or the, you know, whatever you want to call it, to deal with this discussion. And I've already proposed a privatization plan that would back government out of the retirement business altogether. I've proposed a plan to reduce expenditures for probably 25-plus years now. Sadly, Kurt, I'm going to be 52 years old this year. So in the 10 years... Well, let me say it over. In the 5-6 years before I even turn 60, the Medicaid program or Medicare is going to melt down, have drastic changes. But you know what? I'm going to turn 65. When, Kurt? I'm 52 in 19, 62 in 29. Right when I'm about to get ready to, you know, receive mine.
Get your cash.
They're going to hose me right on down, buddy. And nobody's really discussing or dealing with this in a meaningful, productive way, Kurt, at all. Now, there are folks talking about it, like me and Rand Paul and others, that are saying we got to, you know, solve this. But I don't see it, Kurt. I don't see them having any guts to resolve anything legitimate. Any comment on that one, Kurt?
Well, you know, it's nice to know that there are real solutions. Even if they don't seem to be getting the, what would you say, the limelight, if you will. Remember our different guests we've had on, like Josh Umberg, I think is his name, you know, and these different...
What's that, the physician we had on?
Yeah, from in the Midwest, basically where they do the, you know, complete care and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's
like $50 a month or whatever. I mean, there's just so many real solutions. I mean, it's like the problems in the government education or whatever it is. You know, say inflation. We know the solutions. The problem is the folks are typically just unwilling to go there, right? You know, so.
Yes, but, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. At some point, they're going to be forced to go there, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and you hear, you know, and of course, another area of solutions would be your Christian healthcare, health sharing ministries that we've talked about. You know, you hear those ads where the guys are like, hey, man, you could save $500 a month. But the key thing that they're forgetting to point out is that, you know, the average person ends up really not, they think they don't pay for it themselves because it comes out of their employer or, you know, some other way it gets paid for. And yet, Milton Friedman, I think, taught us a long time ago, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch, and somebody's got to pay those bills, you know what I'm saying?
Amen. But I don't really see anything being done about it that's productive.
Well, we can, you know, like the health savings accounts, and there's, you know, I mean, when I look at my lifetime, I think now we got people literally buying bottled water, whereas when I was, you know, growing up, hey, the only thing you'd buy in a bottle was soda pop. It wasn't water, you know. So there's some moves in the right directions, you know, when it comes to health and things like that. I mean, certainly there's a lot of gyms, et cetera, things like
this
that.
This is more about retirement, Kurt.
Well, right? Sort of. It's all connected to health, at least for me, when it comes to Medicare, Medicaid, and all that kind of stuff. If people learn to live better, whether it's their nutrition, their exercising, their resting, you know, all those things, then at least they might be able to avoid the government, you know, care, if you will, or no care, like you're talking about, right?
Yeah. But I don't know what to think about it in the sense that, I mean, I get that it's a healthcare question to some degree. But I think it's more of a socialism question, personally, right?
Well, you couldn't be more accurate, Sam.
Now, that doesn't mean that health isn't part of it. I'm not saying that. It's a big part. You're spot on. But I think it's broader than that because I think that we could solve our health problems if we get rid of the socialism problem.
Good point. You know, and, you know, and let the free market provide solutions. I mean, we've seen it specifically in our lives so many times when you get these good companies that bring forth solutions to problems, whether it's, you know, things like cancer and all the way down to whatever else it might be. And yet, boy, they get hassled and or literally jailed by our government people as they try to provide solutions, right, Sam?
Yes, and anyway, I bring it up just because the answer to the problem, Kurt, is to reject socialism, to back ourselves out of these programs, to not crash the plane. In other words, you can't get rid of it tomorrow. But we have, what, 6 years now left? So in 2025,
well, that's
we need
what
to
they're
be
saying.
Dealing with it. So I'm just saying we have 6 years to back out of that program. I think it's enough time if we put free market solutions in place. And Dr. Rand Paul and Dr. Ron Paul and many others have proposed free market private sector solutions to solve this. But we better start embracing them like now or we don't have any time left, right? When it comes to Social Security as a whole, you can back out of these retirement fiascos. You have 15 years. You could wind down that socialist behemoth relatively safely that way. But the longer you wait, the less time you have, the less fun the landing's going to be, Kurt. You know what I'm talking about?
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And I'm not here to down anybody. I'm just here to say we need to think about this appropriately. But no one's really even talking about it, Kurt. This report comes out. The politicians are just like, hey, lop off Sarah Sanders' heads. That's the actresses and the, you know, reporters. And then they're like, hey, protect journalists, man. Everybody's getting crazy about journalism. Well, you wonder why when you threaten to lop off people's heads. And then, you know, we talk about this. And then they're like, hey, we hate Donald. He's dishonest. And they're like, Donald says, well, the press, you guys are super dishonest. Okay. I get it. But I don't really see that people are focusing on the solutions that can improve things, Kurt. And I personally believe that reducing expenses is one of them. I guess Kurt wants to talk about O'Donnell. Who's O'Donnell, Kurt?
Well, this is a writer, Sam.
O'Donnell's an author? Okay.
Yeah, one of them. And in this case, this one, I'll tell you more about him real quick. You know, basically what you've got is somebody who... Patrick K. O'Donnell, he's a best-selling, critically acclaimed military historian, and an expert on what they call elite units. He's the author of 12 books, including The Unknowns and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff like that. So he's a pretty smart guy. But the bottom line is, you know, he writes this piece and talks about April 19th. Now, do you remember the significance of April 19th? Did you remember before you
Well, there's a bunch
this?
Of significances of April 19th. Isn't it the Oklahoma City bombing took place on April 19th, Kurt?
I think you're right.
All right, so there's a bunch of different things, and it hails back to the reason that was kind of done on that day. They say the Patriots used that to, I can't remember something else, but there's a bunch of historical things that relate to that, right?
That's right, because April 19th, 1775 marked the beginning of an epic journey for a band of brothers who risked everything for a nation yet to be born. And, you know, this author says, over the course of nearly 8 years, many of these Americans marched thousands of miles, often shoeless, unpaid, and starving, to fight for freedom and liberties most Americans today take for granted. Their resolute stand matters in light of multiple current events and threats to that American liberty. Then he goes on and gives, I mean, this is a long, long article, but to me, I like how he gives you the good history and that kind of thing. So I highly recommend your reading of the article by O'Donnell and the Breitbart piece there.
And they say history matters, and my response is, as long as it's not revisionist history, he's spot on.
Good point.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. History matters. No doubt about it, if it's honest history. Amen to that. Donald Trump moves to cut off Iran oil, Kurt. Did you see this? The Trump administration.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, that this is part of your whole increase in your gas prices now, don't you think, Sam?
Yes, I do. And I think that Donald is very foolish on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know he's going to basically say, listen, Sam, it's terrorism at stake here. But see, I don't agree. We've been the biggest arms dealer in the world for decades. If that's not the threat, I don't know what is. What's a bigger threat? Being the biggest arms dealer in the world? Being the funder and the trainer and the arms dealer for war after war after war. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. And people want me to believe that letting people buy Iranian oil is going to be the big problem. All right, Donald Trump moves to cut off Iran oil. The Trump administration is poised to tell five nations, Kurt, Japan, South Korea, Turkey, Japan, and India, that they will no longer be exempt from U.S. sanctions if they continue to import oil from Iran. Now, Kurt, I don't believe in sanctions in the first place. Well, when you say you don't believe in them, I think rare use of sanctions might have some
like
sense
your
to them.
Sanction for Target, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly like
that'd
that.
That'd be an example.
That'd be a great example. You know, I get that it could be used on occasion, but the problem is we sanction everybody all the time. We're always involved in a sanction to where it loses its sting and its ability to even make a difference. It's so routine, day to day. And what it does is it creates this blowback, this hatred towards America. Look, nations should be free to buy oil from wherever they like, Kurt.
Imagine that.
And if the nations feel in the court of public opinion, if you will, that, hey, these are bad actors, they probably won't buy oil from them. But when we're the biggest arms dealer in the world, it would be easy for nations to say, you know what, the United States is the biggest arms dealer in the world. We shouldn't buy anything from the U.S. You know what? I have a hard time disagreeing with that point in a literal sense, Kurt. And so the problem here is I think Donald's really off on this one. And I believe what he's going to do is isolate nations. He's going to get nations that do not want to be involved in the dollar anymore. They're simply going to say, not only are we going to buy Iranian oil, but we're going to do it with the yuan or whatever replacement for the dollar they choose. Kurt, this isn't going to bode well. I'm telling you right now, this is not the way to go about it. Any comments on this?
You know, I will say this, that I don't really know, you know, the whole story behind the scenes and all that stuff, but I do know this, that I've seen the recent gas prices go from like around $2 a gallon to it's getting close to $3 around here, and I guess I've seen some reports where in California and other places they're getting close to $4. So that's that whole deal, the economy. It's kind of interesting how that all works. I'm sure the Texas crude oil folks are ramping it up and working hard to bring that oil out of the ground that they got too.
Well, right? They are, and I'm okay with the competition and the free markets around the world, but I'm just not for this, quote,
you're not for the military industrial complex.
That, no, and the problem with cutting off Iran oil is this. Look, they're out there in the desert, Kurt. What are they going to do if they don't have a source of revenue via oil?
They like doing, blowing up things. I know.
Well, some do. So. Most don't.
Yeah.
America likes blowing up things too. Remember, Kurt, they're the biggest arms dealer and the biggest player in the military industrial complex,
it's
almost above every
economy,
nation.
You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's so, what I'm saying is that it reminds me of the drug trade. You know, what do? You just back these countries' drug trade. We've done that in Burma for decades. Hey, the only revenue they have is drug trade, so we'll foster it and support it. We've done that. I'm not saying that's acceptable or right. I'm just making a point. These guys are at least into oil. It's not like they're into, but again, oil's bad. Maybe Donald's hanging out with Ocasio-Cortez, and she says, stop the oil, and he says, okay. I mean, I don't know who's who here, but I know this. It's not a wise move, Kurt, at all.
Good point.
Let the free market and the exchange of ideas go. Now, if you want to put a little bit of tariff on the oil coming in from Iran, in America, fine. But these other countries are saying, who is the U.S. to say we can't buy oil from our neighbors right here locally, Kurt? Do these nations have a point?
Well, it sure seems like it, Sam.
All right, Kurt. There's this student that's super pro-Israel, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I don't know about super pro-Israel, but, I mean, you know, it's kind of like that whole pro-choice thing you talk about, Sam. In this case, somebody in some school wanted to bring up the fact that they felt like Israel was getting a bad deal or whatever. And so this piece comes from WorldNet Daily. Breitbart also has it, you know, and the headline reads Brave New Schools. That's their Brave New Schools section, I should say. Say, teacher stops student speech for being too pro-Israel. Subheadline, girl gets asked to change subject to not upset others in class. 17-year-old Swedish high school student attempted to give a pro-Israel speech in front of her classmates, but was shut down by teachers who said it would be met with negative reactions. Her name's Anna, by the way. She's a student at Major High School in Gothenburg. Wanted to give a speech on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict from the perspective of the Israeli side of the conflict, and immediately started to get negative comments from classmates, according to SVT. I don't know what that is exactly, but it must be a Scandinavian, you know, or a Swedish television, something like that. But anyway, there you go, Sam. No pro-choice there going on.
Now, Kurt, are you as pro-Israel as that?
Well, you know, when it comes to the whole pro-Israel thing or the Israeli thing or the Jews and all that kind of stuff, you know, I think that people should be nice to other people. And they shouldn't hurt other people. And, you know, I don't care what color you are or whatever, that you ought to follow the example of the Prince of Peace.
And, now, I'm not as pro-Israel as some of these people. Now, don't misunderstand me. I understand the biblical Israel, and I'm not here to attack Israel either. But I think there's a big difference, politically speaking, between the government of Israel that does a lot of things they ought not do versus the legitimate Israel spoken of in the Bible. And I don't think that the two discussions are identical. All right, speaking of that, there's this blind Japanese sailor Kurt wants to tell you about.
I thought you wouldn't want to cover this, but I thought it was kind of a cool story. Well, I just mean, you know, I thought it might not be one you want to go over, but...
Well, I'm not the one, Kurt, to decide every story that comes to the table. You bring a lot of stories, and I want to support them.
I just thought it was kind of fun, and the headline reads, or it's in their WorldNet Daily's Wild at Heart section, which I think is kind of cool. And the headline reads, Blind Japanese Sailor Completes Nonstop Pacific Voyage. You'd think a story like this would have, you know, everybody just jumping on board because it's kind of cool and stuff.
It is
kind of
cool.
BBC is who, you know, brought it forward. WorldNet Daily passed it along. But it says, subheadline, first attempt in 2013 ended with sinking after hitting whale. Yeah, so when you're going along and you're a blind Japanese sailor and you hit a whale, oh, you sunk. But anyway,
and by the way, only blind sailors hit things, just so you know.
Of course they do. I mean, the other guys never hit anything. This blind Japanese sailor has completed a nonstop Pacific crossing, reportedly making him the first visually impaired person to do so. So, like if you did it, Sam, you could be the second. But anyway, this guy's name was Matsuhiro Iwamoto.
I kind of find that interesting. 52. Hero, right?
It's yeah, cool. There you go. He sailed the 8,700-mile crossing with the help of a sighted navigator. So now, you know, looks like he had some help there. It was a two-month-long
trip. Well, the sighted navigator should have told him the whale was in the way, buddy.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't there on the first trip. But anyway, he's got a 40-foot yacht, and he made port in Fukushima. He left California on the 24th of February with Doug Smith, who's the name of the American navigator who assisted him. So it's the Japanese and the Americans working together against him.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, at least that's doing something positive for a change. All these other people are just engaged in all kinds of ne'er-do-well activity.
Good
like
point.
Emma Thompson. We'll tell you about her in a second. She's a nutcase, folks. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Today's the deadline lawmakers set for the Internal Revenue Service to hand over 6 years of President Trump's tax records to the House Ways and Means Committee. Meanwhile, the House Oversight Committee wants years of his financial records. Yesterday, the president and his private business filed suit to try to block that. Legal analyst Andrew Napolitano says the lawmakers need to show a reason why they want these records.
They can't just get them because he's the president and because his predecessors have exposed this type of material about themselves. They have to have a legitimate purpose. And if they can't show that purpose, then they're going to lose. Then the subpoena will be quashed.
He was speaking on Fox News. As the death toll from the Sunday attacks in Sri Lanka reaches at least 320, ISIS is now claiming responsibility, although authorities are still blaming a local jihadist group there, which they say may have been inspired by ISIS. And this is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way. But they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
At least publicly, President Trump is not concerned about possible impeachment proceedings against him. During yesterday's National Easter Egg Roll, he took a question about it from a network reporter.
The reporter shouting, "Are you worried about impeachment, Mr. President?" "Not even a little bit," President Trump answers. Earlier, the president addressing the huge crowd.
"Maybe most importantly, I want to wish everybody a very happy Easter. Our country is doing fantastically well. Probably the best it's ever done economically. We're setting records on stock markets. Setting records with jobs."
That was USA Radio's Robin Walensky. Arguments being held today at the U.S. Supreme Court on a case dealing with a proposed citizenship question on the 2020 census. The Trump administration wants it, saying it gives information allowing federal voting rights laws to be enforced. Critics say it will discourage participation by illegal immigrants. And fewer people participating in the census could mean less federal funding and possibly a loss of seats in the U.S. House. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt. Emma Thompson's in the news. Who is this lady, Kurt?
Well, you know, she's a famous lady, Sam, and you know, the bottom line is this. Well, she arrived at the Marble Arch, Sam, and this is according to the London Daily Mail. And this lady is a climate activist, and, you know, she's just wanting to be there. And so she flew all the way from Los Angeles to Heathrow Airport, 5,400 miles to show World Net Daily piece starts out, says, to show how green she is. And this is under their star treatment section.
Now Kurt's breaking up here.
The way, Sam. Anyway, she issues call to arms for London climate activists after she flew in from Los Angeles. So,
now, Kurt, I don't know why you're bringing this up. What's wrong with that?
Well,
don't you want her to fight climate change, Kurt?
Interesting. You know, the other guys going to this are supposed to get there on a bike or walk, but she can fly in from 5,400 miles away to show how green she is. You know?
Well, she's not really showing how green she is. It's all a necessity play, Kurt. If she doesn't jet around to alert you of what danger you're in, my friend, she would be, well, not responsible in her position. You see, Kurt, they're kind of there to lord over us and make sure we're okay.
That's right. It's the House of Lords and the World of Lords, I guess you call them, the Kingmen.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Good point.
But see, we ignore this. The mainstream press ignores this, Kurt. All right, Kurt wants to tell you about this. What do you call her? Crazy woman, Kurt? She sent this guy 150,000 texts, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a little tough, Sam. In this case, this story comes to us from Fox News and then WorldNet Daily forwarded it, but the headline reads, or it's under the section for WorldNet Daily, "They Dwell Among Us." And the headline
which is
reads,
comical,
"Woman
which
Who
is
Sent
comical,
Man."
Hold on, which is comical when you think about it. They say, hey, you know, these people dwell among us. And then they're like, hey, this lady sent this guy 150,000 texts.
Yeah, 159,000 to be exact.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, texts. Says ridiculous that she's in jail. By the way, subheadline, threatened to turn his kidneys into sushi after he rejected relationship. This is a
maybe
Phoenix
he knew something
woman.
About the relationship yeah. We didn't know before this thing came loose, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And she's accused of harassing a man in one of the texts, one of the 150,000 plus texts.
Wait, 59 threatened. So, you know, somebody went through all those to isolate this one.
Yeah, she threatened to turn his kidneys into sushi. Reportedly thinks it's ridiculous that she's been jailed for the alleged actions. She said, "I can't believe that it's turned into this. I can't believe that I'm actually in jail over some text messages," she said in an interview with the Arizona Republic. I guess
it all depends on how you define some, my friend.
Yeah, good point. She reportedly met the unidentified Paradise Valley man via Luxie.
Now, let me just stop you. Hold on. Before we get to that, isn't this comical, though, Paradise Valley?
Yeah, that's paradise. Luxie, they say, is a dating site for millionaires. I guess I'm just unfamiliar with that and want to keep it that way.
I want to stay not a millionaire, and I want to stay married, and I don't need this dating site for millionaires.
That's right. The two went on one date, but she allegedly became infatuated and continued to pursue him. Yeah, a little bit of pursuit with 159,000 texts. However, the man, said to be the CEO of a skincare products company, was not interested in a relationship. So, anyway, and I guess he kind of showed that after like 50,000, you know, no responses, you know, kind of stuff like that, right, Sam?
Yeah. Wow. But I don't know if I'm more, like, concerned about this lady or the next lady Kurt wants to tell me about.
Well, it's also in the, same section.
These
right,
people
Sam?
Live among us.
Yeah. This one's They Walk Among Us. And the headline reads, oh, and by the way, WorldNet Daily brought it. Their source was Metro, I guess.
I thought they were going to say they text among us for that one, Kurt.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oklahoma woman marries zombie doll. Subheadline says people think it's a dead child. And the story goes, a zombie bride has turned to police to convince other people that she's married to a doll. Lady's name is Felicity Cadillac Rossi. She's 20. She wed the doll after an emotional and intimate 7-year relationship and says they even consummated their marriage. I don't really understand this, Sam, but,
and on the radio, we shall not explain it, Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And, as WorldNet Daily says, they walk among us, you know.
And I'm just telling you, I don't know which is worse. This lady that sends a man 159,000 texts and says she'll turn his kidneys into sushi, or a lady that totes around this doll that she's consummated her marriage with that people think it's a dead child when she hauls this thing around. I mean, I don't know which is, I don't know if you say worse or strange or whatever, but maybe this battle in the United Methodists might give you a little bit of an indication of why folks are so off the rails, Kurt.
Well, you're right, Sam, and it's sad to see, but they're I mean, you're seeing these battles go on. In this case, the United Methodists are basically getting closer and closer to what they call edging toward breakup over what's called the LGBT policies. It's in the Testing the Faith section for WorldNet Daily. And I guess the subheadline says it's time for some kind of separation, some kind of amicable divorce. And according to the AP, there who picked this one up, there's at least one area of agreement among conservative, centrist, and liberal leaders in the United Methodist Church, America's, by the way, they say, largest mainline Protestant denomination, is on a path toward likely breakup over differences on same-sex marriage and ordination of LGBT pastors. The differences, they say, have simmered for years and came to a head at a conference in St. Louis, where delegates voted 438 to 384, same numbers just turned around, for a proposal called the Traditional Plan, which strengthens bans on LGBT inclusive practices. But look at those numbers, Sam. I mean, it's not that far off. It's not like it went like 100-2 or something. I mean, it's getting close.
I don't, you know, they say it's time for some kind of separation, some kind of a, what do they call this thing? Amicable divorce? I don't really know how amicable that is, Kurt, personally.
Yeah, good point. Well, you know, it's just, I mean, what you're supposed to do if you disagree with the homosexuals and stuff is you're just supposed to be quiet, Sam, and you're supposed to let them take over.
I have an idea for them, Kurt.
What's that?
I think they all ought to get down on their knees and they ought to pray to God and ask what his will is in the matter. And you know, I think that most folks will realize that his will is to say, you know, we're not here to be mean to people that choose the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to have policies that are, you know, kind, but yet firm on God's revealed doctrine. And I think they ought to pray to know what they ought to do there, Kurt. What do you think of that idea, advice, suggestion, consideration?
Well, Sam, yeah, but you're not doing exactly what you're told. I mean, as an
I'm doing what I'm told.
Activist, you're supposed to be told to do.
I know, but
exactly
I'm listening to God who tells me.
Well, I know, but he's supposed to be out of the picture.
You know, I hear you. That's what the meltdown's all about.
That's right.
No wonder women are off marrying zombie dolls and sending 159,000 texts. Because they don't have God in their lives, Kurt, and I see this same breakup in the United Methodist. Now, I'm not here to attack their religion. I am here to say, you know what, I think prayer and looking to God and the biblical guidance would be a starting point for those folks. And maybe they could achieve some healing, Kurt, that way. Now Kurt wants to talk about God, guns, and Glocks. We're going to do it in a second, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt's going to start out by telling you a joke. How's that? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
A Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Live and on your radio, breaking down the news like nobody's business. LibertyRoundtable.com. God, guns, and Glocks. Kurt, you're supposed to start out with a joke, though.
That's right. This piece, by the way, from Chuck Norris, founder on the WorldNet Daily. It's under the Culture Wars section. Subheadline, Chuck Norris explains why faith, firearms were so important to founders. So here's the joke Chuck starts out with. He says, there's a joke about me. I even added to my official Chuck Norris fact book. It says, quote, Chuck Norris sleeps with a pillow under his gun. He says, outside of being funny, it's not far from the truth. So he said he was been pondering, some things, with the Easter week and all that kind of stuff. And he says, God and guns are so important to our founders that they established laws in the Bill of Rights to protect our exercise of them. And then he talks about, more and more these pillars of American life and liberty are being assaulted and abandoned. Not only out of sheer bias, but ignorance of our founders, the revolutionary period, and our Constitution. And then he says, for example, gone but not forgotten is even former President Obama's partiality on the campaign trail over a decade ago in April of 2008. He says, you might recall at a private California fundraiser when he addressed the economic hardships of those in Pennsylvania, he said, quote, you go into some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, and like a lot of small towns in the Midwest, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years and nothing's replaced them. And it's not surprising, then they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion as a way to explain their frustrations, end quote.
How do you know that? Wait a minute. How do you know that? I don't cling to guns to do any of those things.
I know. This is just Obama saying it. And Chuck Norris answers him, says, practicing the First and Second Amendments are not a way to explain our frustrations, but a way to explain we are Americans.
Hey, did you tell the joke yet, Kurt?
Well, yeah, the joke was right at the top, Sam. I mean, it's basically saying Chuck Norris sleeps with a pillow under his gun.
Yeah. So it's not really a joke.
Instead of
it's
a gun
cool
under
part.
His pillow.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You like those Chuck Norris jokes, though, don't you, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, jokes about a pillow and a gun, those are
there
good
you go.
Jokes, I guess.
All right. Yeah. Williams College, Kurt, is in the news?
Well, that's right, Sam. And in this case, what you're talking about here is, a little bit of a, what do they say, do as I say, but not as I do. In this case, the headline reads from Breitbart, Williams College student newspaper endorses racially segregated housing. And the editorial board for the student newspaper there at Williams College is calling on the school to implement racially segregated housing in order to make the college a less harmful place and become a more inclusive institution. They've
well,
got
at least
something
they admit
there
that government
called
schools
the,
are a, what do they call it, Kurt? A what place?
Dangerous place.
Yeah, at least they admit
place.
That.
Yeah, that's right. They've got something called the Coalition Against Racist Education. And so it's adds up the first letters of each one to get CARE, and they called on the school to implement racially segregated housing in order to make the college a more inclusive institution. That's according to what's called the Williams Record. They say, as a community, we must recognize that the college is a predominantly white institution in which students of color often feel tokenized. I don't know if I've ever heard that word before, but tokenized, you know, you got to have a few token blacks, I guess it is, both in their residences and more broadly on campus. That's according to the Williams Record, adding that while racially segregated housing alone may not be enough segregation to solve this problem, it's a good start. It will assist in making the college a more welcoming, supportive, and safe community for minoritized students, argued the student newspaper. Do you think they're going to do that, Sam?
Are you kidding me?
I agree. I just thought it was an interesting story. Well, I mean, people should be able to live wherever they want. And, you know, imagine people living with whoever they want to live in. I mean, you know, that's kind of part about freedom, right, Sam?
Yeah. Imagine freedom. Anyway, racially segregated housing. What do you think of that?
Well, if you're going to get the government college to tell you, hey, you know, this person's white and that person's black, so, you know, you need to live here and you need to live there.
I have an
that's
idea,
that's a
Kurt.
Problem.
You ready
Let
for my idea?
Make up their own minds?
Well, if there's a house for sale and somebody can qualify to buy it, then they should be able to buy it, and whoever should take the best offer on the table.
Yeah, imagine that.
See what a racist I am?
You?
I don't understand why color has anything to do with the ability to buy a house. If you can qualify and buy the house and you're going to live there, then I expect you to obey all laws and live there, Kurt.
Imagine that.
And I expect everybody to do that. It's my hope and prayer that everybody does that.
Be nice
and
to
then
your neighbors.
The other thing I would recommend is when the neighbor moves in, I think you ought to be nice to them, get to know them,
take some cookies over or whatever, you know.
Yeah, well,
help
you know.
Them out. Move in the couch with them, you know. Help
well, empty their trash, whatever, you know, whatever, you know, like if the trash cans are on the street, maybe haul them up to their driveway or their yard or whatever. And you know.
Yeah, but don't empty them on their yard, you know.
No, of course not. You wait till they're empty and then you bring them back up off the street
that's
or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I just wanted to make sure people understood, you know.
Yeah, amen to that. Parents drop transgender bathroom lawsuit, Kurt.
Yeah, now this one, Sam, what you've got is, you know, basically more of this whole LGBT, you know, et cetera, and, you know, deal. And yet, you know, it's just, I mean, it's going on. All over the world. In this case, it's Illinois is where this one's from. This judge has denied these girls this place what they call a right of visual bodily privacy. Now, I didn't know about that right myself, but according to the Chicago Herald Tribune, the U.S. district judge there approved a dismissal, ending the attempt of Students and Parents for Privacy to force the Township High School District to abandon its policy of allowing students who identify as transgender to choose to enter biologically opposite sex washrooms and locker rooms. This individual notoriously the judge denied that teenage girls have the right not to be ogled while undressing. To students' arguments that, I mean, school's just so different now than when I was in there, Sam. I mean, you know, things are just way different. Now they say the district will continue their practices of affirming and supporting the identity of our students with access to bathrooms and locker rooms. Students and Parents for Privacy comprised 52 families, numbering 136 parents and students. It's not known why they have dropped their suit. Well, I'll tell you why they dropped their suit, Sam. I mean, they're fighting a big expense to the government. And so I think these families ought to just start their own little school. What do you think, Sam?
You know, it's hard to say exactly what to do, but I can tell you this. Why do we always want to depend on others to solve all the problems, Kurt?
Yep, good point.
I don't understand this. Why?
Yes, sir.
I don't understand why we always do this. It just seems amazing to me that we just... How do I say this, Kurt? We just sit around and wonder why things don't go well in America. Don't we do that a lot?
Well, it seems like a lot of people, you know, there's, remember that old phrase, there's the, you know, two or three or a few that know what's going on and some ask what's going on. The other ones have no idea what's going on. You know, and that's pretty much the same, you know, thing that's happening here. Most people just don't know that in schools that this is happening. And
yeah, but I don't understand how you can not know. Okay, well, at some point, you have no excuse for living under a rock, people.
Yeah, this is in Illinois, and, you know, there you go.
Well, at least this lady's not sending 159,000 texts and threatening to turn kidneys into sushi. And at least this woman's not marrying a doll.
Good point.
That she's had consummation of the marriage with, or whatever this is. Okay, this lady isn't quite as whacked out, but she's violent, Kurt. I guess it's MAGA country. And this lady went ballistic over this, right?
Well, you remember this story a while back, Sam. She went into a, what do they call it, Starbucks. She went into a Starbucks. This was in Palo Alto, California. So, you know, that's the main problem. You're already in a dangerous area. But this individual went in there. This woman. Yeah, and... there was an elderly man, they call it in the story. This lady is 46, and the elderly man is 74-year-old. They call him a Jewish man, Victor F. And basically, she saw him wearing a Make America Great Again hat, Sam. And boy, she was ticked off. In fact, she, you know, she... went and accosted him, or basically she says, you know, she said this on her social media account, he will never forget me and I will think seriously about wearing, or he will think seriously about wearing that hat in my town.
This lady's unhinged though. Why can't he just wear it? Why can't she just walk away and say, hey, you know, he believes his way and I believe my way, and thank heavens we can both believe the way we think.
And
what
she
a blessing
said,
that
you
freedom
see
is.
Him in this hat, please confront him. And, you know, it sounds like Maxine Waters.
Leave him
you
alone,
don't
Kurt.
Want
just let him
to
be
the person who didn't speak up as we slipped into fascism. Oh, wow. I mean,
fascism?
It's amazing. Huh? That's what she's saying. That's this guy's doing by wearing a hat that says, Make America Great Again.
Ah, well, there you have it. But again, this is where it's unhinged, though. Is there accountability for this lady? What do you mean she went in hiding?
Well,
why isn't she arrested, Kurt?
They say she's just kind of gone and nobody can find her. A friend of hers.
Well, could, all you got to do is ask the IRS to help out. They'll find her.
Yeah, that's right. I guess according to this one girl, she didn't post on Facebook for 24 hours, so they're worried about her. Maybe she's just going to quit posting, Sam. What do you think?
I don't know. I know this. I hope that she's safe and okay. And I hope that she learns about the genius of America, which is we can agree to disagree agreeably. We can be kind and have different views. And she ought to leave that old man alone, and she ought to be accountable for her violent actions. You know what? We need less confrontation, less violence. We need a clarion call for civility. That's my suggestion, ladies and gentlemen. We got to follow the Prince of Peace. All right, 2 hours in the can, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, always at libertyroundtable.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore a grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.